Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and I have the watch for the next hour. Thank you for listening to us on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Aileen.
Good morning.
You were gone this morning when I got up. You guys went for your run this morning.
I'd like to, you know, torture myself by exercising here and there.
when is the event, the run?
So it's October 6th, which I believe is a Sunday. So it's been about, I don't know, 8 years since I've run a half marathon.
We'd have to look in the hallway. Those things are all hanging in the hallway.
Yeah. Very, very long time. Yeah. And I decided to do another one with a friend of mine, of course. And, of course, when you do a half marathon or anything like that, you have to train. So that's been the hardest part, getting up and going running. So.
And a big difference, too. That was the Avenue of the Giants over on the coast, so it's going to be a big difference. Frank is down on the end today. He does not have a mic because we have a guest, so he's down there making sure we're staying in line and all that. Dad is here, like always, in the morning. Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, and as far as I'm going to run, it is to Starbucks.
Well, you walk over, we don't want to say exactly where you live, but you walk over that direction and then up the hill where those new houses are.
So, yeah, a mile and a half every morning.
You've watched a whole little area kind of develop over there behind Walmart, up the hill behind Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of neat. And our guest this morning is Charlotte Rose, and she has an amazing story to tell us in a little while about her father, who was a merchant marine.
And military sea transportation service.
So we're going to get into all of that, because when I talked to you on the phone the other day, and I got off the phone, I went right over to Aileen, and I told her, I said, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. The recognition is finally slowly starting to trickle around because of the services that you're doing and other folks like you around the country.
We're working on it. We want them to get veteran status, which they richly deserve.
Oh, absolutely. And I had told you briefly a story of a merchant marine that said he was Vietnam, you know, and all this stuff. And a lot of us vets, or you listen for certain things for people to say, and you know, you weren't hearing that. And then the group of us, it was with Sean and the guys down in Durham, and we're all like, no, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right. And you're not going to compare what you did on a boat, you know, to what we did in Fallujah and Baghdad and Afghanistan and all of that. And I think that was the buttons that were getting pushed, you know, with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all about the support they provided, the fact that they provided important things for the troops that were actually doing the fighting.
And the men and women that you guys are trying to advocate for. A lot of those ships went into combat areas. You know, during World War II, they were probably shot at and bombed at. And
they had the highest death rate among all the services because of, particularly when they were running the supply runs through Murmansk through to Russia. Because once a ship was hit, they didn't even try to pull people out of the water. It wasn't even possible.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah. So,
too cold up there. You're dead when you hit the water.
As soon as you hit the water, you're gone. Yeah, jeez. We did the cold water training, and you can keep that. So we will definitely get to that. But, Aileen, I know you wanted to talk about the commissary thing, too.
Yeah, so I have to admit I'm pretty jealous I don't get to use the commissary. But, you know, I've been out for, I don't know, what, 13 years now? You kind of get over it.
Five or six? 2006.
Oh, six. You kind of get over it, you know. But I do miss the commissary, and I'm selfish. I miss not paying taxes, but I know, you know, there's a purpose to taxes. Don't get me wrong. So Senate just passed a bill, or a measure, I should say, that extends commissary and exchange privilege to more veterans. So now it's no longer the 20-year retirees. They've extended that to people that have received a Purple Heart, people that have received the Medal of Honor, former prisoner of war, which is kind of silly. Like, hello, they can't go to the commissary, but now they can. And vets with disabilities. So if you have a service-connected disability. So those are important words there. It has to be service connected.
Did it give a percentage on that?
Nope, no percentage.
Us, you know, work on that mm-hmm. percentage.
Well,
know.
I mean, if they were to say you have to be a certain percentage, then all our IDs would have to change again. And how does that go with privacy and confidentiality? Yeah. So no percentage. And here's a good one. I really like this one. Veteran caregivers.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like that one.
So that they can still get stuff for the veteran, mm-hmm. you know, presumably uh-huh. for the veteran
yeah.
or whatnot. That's
so, and it's supposed to go into effect January of next year. So, and it didn't give any guidelines on, you know, how they're going to implement this because it's just the measure. Now, you know, the bases and have to figure out how they're going to implement this.
So what you're saying is Beale and Travis Air Force bases are going to get flooded with all of us who will be eligible for that.
I mean, why not? Why not? It's more money for the commissaries,
for
right?
For us and our family, can we get the discounts for Disneyland?
I know. That's what I'd like. Yeah.
you
yeah.
know.
So yeah. If you can go and buy tickets, if you didn't know, like to Disney and Universal Studios on the bases, and they're a little bit less expensive. But I have to admit, we want to go on a vacation in October because our son's turning 13. So he's going to be a teenager, right? We got to do something big. And we are going to Universal Studios. So I wanted to see, because I have friends that can that have access to the commissary and they could buy tickets, how much money we would save if I got my friend to buy the ticket, right? So just guess, how much do you think?
I know. Oh, I don't want to.
Okay, don't just answer.
20%,
yeah.
Good percentage?
I'll go 40%.
Oh, it's not even a percent.
Yeah.
It's $3 less.
Oh, jeez.
yeah.
So I kept thinking, okay, don't get me wrong. The tickets are expensive. I think, what did I say, $140?
$147 for 2 days, I think it
yes,
was.
Yes, like $147 yeah. per person right. for Universal Studios. So I thought 10%, you know, I'm happy with 10%. It's like $14. Score. And I looked it up, $3.
But Disney, Legoland, Legoland gave us a 30%, right?
Oh, yes, to the hotel, not to the park.
Which the hotel was amazing.
Yes, it was. And I've never, ever, ever heard of a 30% veteran discount. Yeah. So that was the first ever for me. I was pretty shocked on the phone because I always ask everybody.
But you bought your car when you were in Okinawa. Was it through the exchange?
It's sort of through the exchange. So if you're overseas, you can buy a car and it's a lot less expensive. And what I really like about it is I can buy, let's say I want to buy the 2021 Mustang.
Yeah.
Okay. I can buy it for the price that they're offering right now, even though technically they're not selling 2021 Mustangs, but I can buy it for the price of the Mustang right now, the newest model. And if the price goes down, I always get the lower price. I don't have to do anything. I automatically get the lower price. And if they offer a rebate at any time between the time I sign up and the time I pick up my car, I always get the highest rebate. So when I sign up, let's say the rebate at that time is $500. Great, I get a $500 rebate. And between that time, you know, Ford wants to sell cars and they offer a $2,500 rebate. Well, even though my rebate was $500 at that time, it gets changed to $2,500. And even if it goes back up or down to $1,000, I'm locked in at that $2,500.
It's just when you did it, it was all Fords.
Yes.
The Ford
well,
company.
No. It was all U.S. vehicles.
Gotcha,
but, you know,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but real quick, because we're going to go to commercial, but your car was purchased. It was all the way out in Exeter, and it sat there for 6 months, and no one knew who it was. And it was actually one of the very first Ford Escape hybrids in the state, no one even knew how to work on it or anything.
Oh, yeah.
And it just sat there for 6 months until you showed up to go get it. And then you had to force them to fill the tank too. It was like
they knew it was my car, but people kept coming into the lot wanting to buy it, and they're like, we can't.
Yeah.
Belongs to somebody. We don't know when she's picking it up, but it belongs to somebody.
All right. Well, when we come back, we are going to talk to Scarlett Rose about her awesome work that you've been doing and all. Thank you for listening to KCNR on 96.5 FM. Thank you for listening to Manning the Watch.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment and business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch. Thank you for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM. Ooh, that was a little bit loud. but thank you, Jared. I always enjoy the music you play for me. Well, welcome back. And I'm just going to, I was reading the paperwork you gave me, and you've done so much. I don't even want to trip over any of that. So, Miss Scarlet Rose, the mic is yours. Tell us what you want us to know.
Thank you. My father served in the Navy in World War II, and as soon as he got out at the end of 45, he went into the Merchant Marines and did that through the end of the 40s. And then in 1950, he switched to the Military Sea Transportation Service, the MSTS. Served during the Korean War and stayed in the MSTS through 1958. You know, as children, you grow up hearing stories about what your parents did before they had kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I wish I would have paid more attention. That's the standard lesson you get.
Yeah.
But when he passed away in 2003, I knew he had a trunk out in the garage with all of his stuff in it. But I just didn't have the heart to go through it until about 4 years ago. And when I started pulling out all of this paperwork, because he saved everything. And I realized, you know, getting his World War II medals was no problem. The role for that is really easy. You get your DD-214 and things. The Merchant Marine wasn't too bad because he tagged on as the end of World War II again, so he qualified for that. But then I hit the big snag. Merchant Marine, MSTS during Korean War, is not recognized as being veterans. Why is that? So I reached out in the local community. There wasn't too much knowledge in the area, so I wound up contacting the American Merchant Marine Veterans Association, the national organization. And boy, did I learn a lot. That's one of their causes. They are working to get veteran status for Korean War, Merchant Marine, MSTS, and moving forward, hopefully Vietnam and then the Gulf War. And it's mainly because people don't know what's involved in trying to get that status recognized. I mean, it could be an act of Congress. It could have been something else like that. The World War II ones actually got it because of a lawsuit. They filed suit because they were turned down for veteran status several times, and they finally filed suit. And the federal judge said, this is ridiculous. These people should be veterans. They got it in 1988. Well, we're at the point with the American Merchant Marine Veterans Association. We're up against the Department of Defense Military Civilian Review Board, which you're supposed to apply and say, this is our group. These are examples of members of our group who served, spent time, you know, their ships went in and out of Korea at the various ports, you know, Busan, Incheon, this kind of thing, and, you know, provided vital services, whether it was supplies. I did not realize that MSTS ships carried troops in cases. In fact, the first army groups that responded to the beginning of the Korean War were brought over from Japan to Korea on MSTS and merchant marine ships. So we have the background. We know a lot of this stuff. But part of your application is you have to come up with paperwork. The burden of proof is on the group. And trying to find government paperwork, the government doesn't even know what it has. Yeah. It's in boxes in different archives. It's in St. Louis. It's in San Francisco.
Our favorite thing is it got lost in the fire.
Oh, they say that for everything.
Everything, yeah.
You know, and then
that's the go-to answer for everything.
Even finding my dad's MSTS records. He was considered civilian. This was the MSTS was set up, started about the 1949 and got active in 1950s, just in time for the Korean War. They were under the control of the Navy. The Navy had to oversee them. And so supposedly the Navy has all these records. Well, they consider them civilian personnel. So they weren't in St. Louis, luckily. They didn't thing. But where did they put them? It took a while to figure out that they're in a limestone cave in Valmire, Illinois.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, you know, the obvious place.
Yeah, you know, and when you request these records, you know, you have to follow the dotted lines to get them. When you get them, of course, they're redacted. We haven't passed some of the secrecy thing on that. You know, freedom of information only goes so far. It's kind of creepy when you request records and you get a phone call and an email and a letter attached to the records warning you that this file has been redacted for security reasons. That kind of gives you a clue something's going on, you know.
Wow.
So as I got into this, you know, any of the papers that Dad had, he saved everything. He saved all of his check stubs, which, by the way, for a Merchant Marine MSTS means when he went into the war zone, he had an area bonus because he was going into that.
Oh.
So I knew exactly. I mean, his service book says he left San Francisco on this date and he returned this date. But where did he go for those months? But he kept a logbook, and he kept all those check stubs. So I can tell when he went within the area of Korea where it was considered hazardous because he had an area bonus. If he was carrying anything that was dangerous, like fuel, ammunition, they had a hazard bonus. If it was considered during an active conflict, they gave him a super bonus. So I was able to build a calendar from that, and it's like he was in and out of Korea about 8 times during the 3 years of that war.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And
that's
he logged about 140 days within the war zone. So when I tried to figure out, you know, well, is he eligible for any of the medals? Because, you know, they're handing out Korean service medals. You get service stars depending on what action you're involved in, all this kind of stuff. The Navy's like, nah, you guys don't get anything. You're civilians. And, again, the Merchant Marine Group, they do have it. It's evolved. The MSTS became the Military Sealift Command, MSC, and now they're under the auspices of the Maritime Administration, MARAD. I'm totally non-military. I didn't serve myself, so having to learn all these acronyms and all this kind of stuff has been a real education. So MARAD does give a few awards to Merchant Marines MSTS. So I was able to get Dad the Korean Service Medal. And that was like, well, can you prove he was in that? I said, well, I've got his handwritten logbook. I've got his check stubs. Well, no, we need official government documentation.
So I got a question.
Sure.
And barring his active duty time during the Navy, if this story was a different person and they didn't ever served in the Army, Navy, Marine Corps, or anything, but they were doing just what you said, since they're given the Korean War Medal, does that mean they're eligible to be buried out in the cemetery?
No, not for okay. Korean War. Only World War II Korean or Merchant Marines can be
are
buried
the only
out
ones
there.
Out there. Okay.
You know, again, gotcha. They're making it do us piecemeal. When they did this suit and got the World War II Merchant Marines recognized, they got veteran status, they can be buried gotcha. In Igo, okay. this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to do a blanket thing. It wasn't just Merchant Marines, period. Yeah. They're going to make us fight each war going forward unless something major happens.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm trying to get the word out, because so many people, they've never heard of Merchant Marine, or yeah. particularly even MSTS, because that organization, MSTS, again, started about 1950. It ran through the time of Vietnam and then was switched to MSC. And, you know, people just don't aware of it, and it's not a huge group of people. It's not like when we have a war, we have a ton of people in the military.
Yeah.
So
millions of people, you know.
Millions. We're more like hundreds of thousands, a half a million,
yeah.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, in finding Dad's proof, again, the American Merchant Marine Veterans Association, the guy I talked to, Mike Helbig, he's the co-chair of their political affairs. He's the one putting together this case that we have to put up before the review board. He said, no problem, I can prove your dad was there. And I'm like, well, how? The Navy puts out a awards manual after any major conflict so that their servicemen know how to apply for their medals. It lists the conflict, the different times, and this kind of stuff. If you look for the one for the Korean War, all the ships are listed there, and they're mostly Merchant Marine and MSTS.
Whoa!
By name. Yeah. With conflict dates, service star dates, everything is listed
see,
there.
I think that's how, on the Marine Corps side, I think that's how some of the guys have found out we got issued another award afterwards.
Yes.
And some of them are starting to get those papers now, the Department of Defense papers, mm-hmm. and it shows, and then you take that to your VSO, and they do
exactly.
So
they have huge amounts of documentation on these ships. Of course, it's not 100% accurate, mm-hmm. but it's all there. And there's my dad's ship. Every time it went within the war zone, it's listed there. It was involved in two engagements. And I'm going, well, that adds up. You know, I mean, if yeah. you've been Navy, Navy Reserve, or a Navy Armed Guard, which served on a lot of these ships, besides the Korean Defense, Korean Service Medal, he should have gotten a United Nations Service Medal. He should have got a National Defense Service Medal. And because he went in and out during two of those designated conflicts, he should have got two service stars.
Yes.
But he gets none of that because he's a civilian, as far as the Navy's concerned.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big wow. That's extra large, 78 size font wow on that one. Yeah, that's I'm almost speechless on that. You know, yeah.
So you were saying earlier that right now it's on a review board.
Well, we're putting an application together. We've already been turned down a couple times for lack of documentation.
Okay.
That's where my dad's paperwork came in. He saved things like port passes. You know, when you came into port, you were given a pass. You were supposed to turn it back in when you came back, but he didn't. He kept them because it said, you know, when you could leave ship, when you could come back. If you flip it over on the back, it gives a government form number to show it's a legit piece of government paperwork, and it lists the rules, you know, about your alcohol, your tobacco, all that
kind
of.
We all read that, memorized it.
Right. Well, number five on a couple of these port passes is it says, if you get taken up for any reason while you're in port, you will be court-martialed. Because there's always been this legend that Merchant Marines of that era could be court-martialed, but we needed to find proof. And here it was on the back of this port pass in black and white on a government form. You will be court-martialed if you get into trouble. And so in the last year or so, we've been able, through St. Louis, we have a volunteer there digging through the boxes, about two dozen cases of Merchant Marine who, whatever bar fight they got into or whatever happened, were court-martialed by the Navy, the Army, different branches of the service because whatever they got into.
How can you court-martial a civilian, though?
Exactly. We were subject to military discipline. Major piece of proof.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's
That's
amazing.
Crazy.
You know, because they're telling us, you're civilians. You didn't have any. One of the things Dad saved, his piece of paper when he was on the ship, it was your dress regulations. This is what you must wear on ship as casual dress. And he had a dress uniform. They had ranks. I mean, your pay was based according to your ranking. Mm-hmm. His voyage book shows he was an able seaman when he started. By the time he finished, he was the ship's carpenter. There was rank on those ships. So, you know, again, we're following the structure of the military.
What they're saying is you're going to do what we tell you to do, how we're going to tell you to do it, when we're going to tell you to do it, but we're not going to give you the status of saying that you were
And none of these wonderful of benefits like the commissary or anything like that. You know, you don't get any of that.
Wow.
You know, no
That's pretty cool.
college things or anything.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Thank you for listening to Manning the Watch on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Attention all hands. Manning the Watch is a show by veterans for veterans covering every branch of the uniformed service.
Listen every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the news and information all veterans need to know. Nationally and right here in Shasta County.
Listen live or streaming on the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Welcome aboard every Saturday morning for Manning the Watch, 10 a.m. on KCNR.
North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler, has been in business since 1983, serving Northern California, Southern Oregon, and Western Nevada. North Valley Distributing is a major supplier for the industrial and construction markets with same-day delivery. North Valley Distributing, a local electrical wholesaler on Crossroads Drive right here in Redding. Call 222-1500. That's 222-1500.
Good things come to those who wait. At Jersey Mike's, they also come to those who don't. Download our app, order ahead, and skip the line. Cut to the Chase by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Looking for a team-building exercise? Order Jersey Mike's delivery from Uber Eats. Then share. Collaboration by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media soundbites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch with Doc. I am Doc, and thank you for coming back to KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Well, that was a lot. I just want to say before we get off to what Aileen has right here, that was a lot. I know I talked to you on the phone a week or 10 days ago.
Right.
And it was a lot then, and it's even, you know, being right next to you and hearing it, being someone who served in the military, and I served honorably. I did my time. I am a Navy corpsman, but most of my time was with the Marine Corps Infantry, and I was older, so there's a lot of little things that I can plug into that separate me from the masses. And it sounds like your father had those same kind of things, you know, here
it's
and that.
Utterly
yeah.
impressive that he kept so much.
That was the thing. I mean, so many people, I wanted to reach out to the community. If they have a Merchant Marine in their family, or you are a Merchant Marine, or particularly an MSTS, because those are even more rarer, you know, I'd love to be able to find out, I mean, whether you contact the Korean War Veterans Association here in town. I'm an associate member with them, you know, because that's where I'm getting the help from Frank, getting on the radio to spread the news about this, because we need that kind of documentation. They love that Dad had all of his papers. And a lot of people, you open that trunk and go, what's all these little bits of pieces of paper?
Well, I think
that's
amazing to me, because my life was in and out of my CBAC. Mm-hmm. You know, what few civilian clothes I had, because I really didn't need much. And when I was done with the Marine Corps side, I moved to Lemoore, and that's where I met Aileen. You know, I went into the barracks there. I was like, well, I don't even have my own bed sheets. You know, I don't have any of that. Everything I owned that I needed was in my sea bag or behind the seat of my pickup truck.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't, a lot of stuff just went in one hand and in a shredder or out the other hand,
Dad,
because I just didn't have anywhere to put that stuff until I got back onto the Navy side, and especially when we got our first apartment. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, you start accumulating that, you know. And
well, Dad was lucky. See, he was based in San Francisco, and my grandmother ran a boarding house there during World War II in Oakland.
Oh, yeah.
So anytime he came to port, he always had a place to dump his stuff as well as sleep. So.
Aileen, do you have something you want to pass real quick before we get too far?
Yeah, so during break, we actually got some free goodies to give out to you guys out there. They are Colt 45 tickets, and I guess today is the last game.
The last game, I believe.
So, yeah if you're interested, I have a couple of them. Give us a call at 605-4567. Did I get that right?
That was a five.
Okay.
Thank you. That was Jared.
It looks a little like a nine. Again, it's 605-4567. We'll have the tickets for you. We'll just
here at the station?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll take the first caller.
We'll take whoever calls or runs
come on
into
over.
The front door.
Yeah, talk to Jared for a little bit. He'll take down your name and give you the address.
And awesome. I will be here till noon.
Until noon. Eh? So if you're not here by noon, you're out of luck, right?
Well, I guess you could come here at 7 when the game starts. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, well, we'll figure something out. If somebody wants them, I think it would be good. It might be a good little family thing to go to this evening. You know, it is our local minor league, sub-minor league. I don't know what the
summer collegiate league.
Summer collegiate league. Is the Colts attached to any major league team?
I know there's like another team that used to be or still is called the Colt 45s, but no.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, this is just kids that play college ball during the, you know, normal college semesters, and then when they're on summer vacation, they'll...
So it keeps them going, keeps them getting a little better, refining their skills, whatever position they're playing and all. So,
right.
Hey, it might be nice. We might snag a couple ourselves and go. Well, thank you for... Carl brought those in, did I see? Yeah, so thank you, Carl, for bringing those in.
Kind of odd to hear his voice on the radio.
I know.
There,
you have the perfect voice for radio and face. I know I'm number one. Thank you.
Well, going back to what we were talking about earlier, Scarlett, you know, it's I think when I left the military, don't get me wrong, I loved my experience in the military. I was ready to move on with life, and I got rid of a lot of stuff. And I know so many people that did the same thing. So as I'm hearing you telling me, you know, these port passes
It's just, it's astonishing.
Mm-hmm.
It is astonishing.
That it made it that long.
Yes.
And it was all very carefully packed in this trunk. And I have to tell you, I've already donated some of it down to Fort Mason. Because, again, okay. They've never seen this documentation. My dad was also an amateur photographer at that time. He was in camera club in high school. He has photographs of these ports and some of the cargoes they carried.
Wow.
So, I mean, it was just a treasure trove.
I hope you're writing a book.
I probably should do that down the line. I mean, I've got all this stuff. And, I mean, and now that I've been working on getting him at least some recognition, Frank poked me and said, I have to remind you, you know, Kim Chamberlain, our wonderful local
Kim's awesome.
Korean War era person, our support and advocate, when I ran into her and was telling her my troubles, she helped me get Dad the South Korean Ambassador's Peace Medal because it turns out the South Korean government recognizes Merchant Marines. And the whole point of that is, it's one of those little facts, the current South Korean government, president right now of South Korea, he's only here because his parents were rescued by a Merchant Marine ship during the Hungnam evacuation.
Don't forget that kind of stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah, kind of.
Wow.
No wonder you've got an award for being a researcher.
And that's it. So. You know, I brought my little flashy plaque here saying that I've been a research assistant for about the last 3 years, so the American Merchant Marine veterans recognized me at their convention early this year with this nice shiny plaque.
Well, you certainly deserve it. Oh, my gosh. This is amazing work that you're doing. You're preserving history.
I hope so. It's part of my family genealogy, but it's also because I think this is a good cause. There are Merchant Marines and MSTS still living, you know, who don't know that they do deserve this recognition. They deserve veteran status. You know, they should be acknowledged for that. Wow. So it's a, you know.
Wow.
Something that I want to see accomplished within my lifetime and hopefully within a few short years. I mean, the American Legion has invited the American Merchant Marine Veteran Association to their next big convention.
So they're taking the first steps of,
you know, other groups are reaching out to us and saying, you know, we're going to recognize, yes, you guys did provide a vital support service that should be acknowledged. And that's part of getting the word out. We want other groups to help us. There's a couple bills, of course, before the Senate. And the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives already passed their part of the bill. The Senate bill is 133, which is currently up there. And what it is we want the World War II Merchant Marines to receive a Congressional Medal of Honor. And it would be a group one. They can buy their own copies of it. But we want them acknowledged because of the huge sacrifice during World War II that Merchant Marines suffered, the amount of people that were lost, and that there were POWs in that war as well. There's some in Vietnam. But, you know, just give them some other acknowledgement other than all of this stuff that came so late.
It'd be hard with the Medal of Honor because that's usually...
Well, this is the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's not
okay,
the
sorry,
military
part,
Medal of Honor. Yeah. It's a separate one. This is from Congress.
So the civilian version of it, they could, you know, probably work that in.
Yeah, and at this point we have 24 senators online. We do have Feinstein is on board. Harris is not because she's out campaigning, I'm sure. I keep pelting her with emails. So I would encourage people, if you go in, you know, emails, the American Merchant Marine Veterans website is ammv.us. And if you click through on their site about this bill, they do have one of those automatic things where you can send an email to your representative. You know, LaMalfa's already online. He was a good guy. He jumped on board in the House of Representatives.
Anything
no problem.
Supporting vets, he's online.
So he's on it. So we have that. We've got enough in the House of Representatives, but we still need – you have to have 69 senators on board for this to be brought to the floor, and we're only at 28, I believe.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
But – you're moving in the right direction.
We're working on it and chipping away at those people. You know, pelt all the other senators. I don't care if you don't live in their state. You have family living in some other state. Pelt those people and, you know, poke them that they need to be on board for this. If they say they support veterans, they should be after this.
So if we were to go on this website, does it list the representatives that are on board?
Yeah, if you click on the link, it'll give you a list and it'll show you. It's pretty bipartisan right now. It's 50-50. We even have one independent senator who's on board. Never mind the Republicans and the Democrats. So that's the bill that we're really pushing now is at least get them that kind of recognition.
Well, we'll come back with that here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Thank you for listening to Manning the Watch on KCNR 96.5 FM.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Come on in to Black Bear Diner, where the portions are bear-sized and the service makes you feel at home. With breakfast served all day, anytime's right to dig into our one-of-a-kind sweet cream pancakes, Bear Benedicts, or generous sides of thick-cut bacon and tantalizing sausage patties, house-made from our signature recipe. Whenever you do breakfast, do it at Black Bear Diner, because around here, every plate comes with heaping helpings of happiness.
Black Bear feels like home.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than mainstream media sound bites.
We'll bring you experts on politics, national security, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. We the People Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Manning the Watch, and thank you for coming back to KCNR 96.5 FM. Well, we've had a lot. That's a lot to absorb, all of that that you're talking about. All of those men and women that are in there, I hope they, you know, things eventually, you know, pan out. But, you know, we're losing a lot of those folks every day.
We are, and that's the problem. They're all very elderly. The American Merchant Marine Veterans does encourage spouses, siblings, children. You know, I'm the proud daughter of.
Yes.
So to continue that organization, they want us to become actively involved and to help them achieve this goal and to even just find out how many Merchant Marines and MSTS are still out there, because they don't know. You know, nobody's ever kept track of these people. So, you know, it's always neat to have that information get out there and then to draw everybody else in and kind of build your cause.
Yeah. So it's a lot, and it's a lot of work.
It is.
And it's, you know, you said you've applied a couple of times and have come back. Well, you don't have enough
documentation. Insufficient.
So there's more of that to come.
You know, and we don't know if they're just making us jump through the hoops, you know.
Yeah.
My thing is, if it took a lawsuit for the World War II ones, we may get to that point. I mean, once we have overwhelming evidence, if the Air Force colonel who's in charge of this review board turns us down again, you know, maybe we have to do the lawsuit thing.
Yeah.
Nothing against the Air Force. I mean, Bill McKinney's Air Force veteran. But, you know, this guy back in the Department of Defense, it's all military people on this review board. They're either current or retired that are serving on it. We can't get their names. It's a secret. It's not public knowledge.
So yeah, it's just not public knowledge because they don't want people probably bombarding them with outside influences. So,
which I understand. But on the other hand, I mean, they're living in their own little world here. And it's like, hey, guys, you know, when you have overwhelming edit, that's what this review board was set up for. I mean, the WASPs, the women Air Force pilots, are veterans. A lot of other service groups have become veterans. Why? Why not the Merchant Marines and the MSDS? Mm-hmm. We have the evidence.
Sometimes I wonder, though, if it's just about the money. Because, you know, if they were to come out and say, yep, we're going to give these people veteran status, then what does that do budget-wise with their veteran budget, with our VA budget?
Yes, because like the WASP and the WAVES and all of that, there's very few of them. Mm-hmm. There were very few of them then, and there's even fewer of them now because so many have passed. With the Merchant Marines, you're talking all the way from World War II, you know, through Vietnam, that's a lot of bodies. That's a lot of people.
And even if the member isn't with us anymore, what could their spouses apply for, family members apply for? So, and I can't say that's really the reason, but sometimes I wonder, you know, is that why some people make those decisions? Oh my gosh, it's going to cost this much. Well, really, you shouldn't be looking at the cost. You should really look at the facts and look at the situation and go, do these people deserve veteran status? And it certainly sounds like they do. And I've only been talking to you for, you know, 45 minutes. It didn't take long to convince me.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's why I organize my facts. I mean, you know, you're talking at a former honor roll student here. So, you know, I've got my paperwork. And this is part of my research. We need to be concise so that when we file the application, everything there is detailed. And we have all of our I's dotted and our T's crossed. We have our government document copies. Everything has to be there so that we have a solid case.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have our support. You have our support on it.
It all helps. I think it's great. I mean, I think the public awareness would help because, again, you know, these people don't live in a vacuum. If they talk to other people,
yes,
you never know.
So speaking of supporting, and Aileen has something in her hand right now.
Yeah, it's called the Fill the Hat event for veterans during the entire month of August. So this is the Reading VFW Post 1934 is going to be hosting this fundraiser. Again, it's going to be throughout August. And let's see, I'm trying to read this. Really quick.
At Page Copy Center.
Yes, at Page's Copy Center at 1645 Pine Street. Again, Page's Copy Center at 1645 Pine Street. So, you know, it's getting that time of the year to start donating to causes. This is a great cause to donate to. Again, it's called Fill the Hat for the veterans and of the entire month of August.
These funds that are going for that is for them to secure a new facility. And that's part of what they're trying to get to, you know, so the VFW here in Reading has their own facility and can, you know, have maybe a little bit better amenities than they're at right now.
And I have been to the VFW here. I mean, we've talked about them quite often in Reading. And I think it would definitely benefit them to get a place that's a little bit more modern and up-to-date. I mean, it feels like almost the 80s threw up on the walls, you know?
Well, we had new commander, which is now a district commander. He will be on the show next week, hopefully next week, and we can ask him to elaborate more on that and where they are and all that. And, of course, Ranger Rick, who's out there, he's always been able to, you know, support us and tell us what was going on over there when he was the commander. But I don't know if he's recovered from his other knee surgery, had his second knee worked on, so I'm sure we'll talk to him in the next few weeks. A lot of stuff. I mean, I'm just kind of overwhelmed with Scarlett's information over there. It, you know, those are people that have really just kind of fallen off the radar.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for you and other folks like yourself with those other groups that you talked about, the WASP, the WAVES, and the variety of other ones.
And that's it. I mean, the more I can talk about, I mean, there's been some recognition. If you go to IGO during the Veterans Day or Memorial Day, we now have a wreath. So the Merchant Marines at least have that acknowledgement. And, it, you know, there are a few places like in Sacramento. There's a beautiful Merchant Marine monument down on the river there along the that bridge, the fancy old trestle horse bridge. So, you know, we're starting to get things out and just getting people more aware about it, you know.
Do we have anything in the mall in D.C. yet?
That I don't know about. There's a lot of people working on the East Coast part. And there is a Merchant Marine Academy on the East Coast. That's where the officers came from and the masters of the ships. So there's always been a training facility for Merchant Marines. Some of it, you know, the objection was, did you receive military training? Well, my dad has his small arms certificate and his other stuff, you know, lifeboat rescue and all that other kind of thing. He had all of his little certifications that he had to have in order to be on this ship and serve as the ship's carpenter.
I'm wondering if you and your dad's document, if the organization has come to you and said you have the most complete service history documentation for Merchant Marines. You have to be, because I'm even the port passes.
Mm-hmm.
You must have been like the treasure they were looking for.
They were thrilled to find me. I was just shocked that nobody else saved all this stuff, because, I mean, how many people are pack rats? But true, you have to know what you have.
Yeah.
But we also have to live a little light also, because we're moving around so fast and jumping from ship to ship.
The port passes, in my opinion, I would have just thrown them away.
Yeah.
I mean, they must have been elated in meeting you and seeing all the goodies that you have. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, like, I don't have his uniform, but I remember what it looks like, and I have his cap with his insignia on it. Their insignia was different.
Yeah.
You know, everything was different. That's part of proving that they had structure. Mm-hmm. So, whatever I can do, and if I can luck on to any other people who have their bits and pieces. We need multiple people showing that it wasn't just one ship that did the good thing. It's a bunch of them and all those hundreds.
I can tell you, Maddie didn't save anything. Jason didn't save anything from the ships. And both of those guys jumped from ship to ship every time it came in, came back into dock, and they would jump on another ship that was going out.
We're also in a digital world. And so you're not going to have the sort of documentation that you had back then. And, you know, it's just amazing. And I know you said you took pictures of it all. You need to write a book. Yes. I'd be the first person in line to buy it.
I'm number two.
I'll put
that on my list of things to do. Oh, my goodness.
Between your quilting and your research.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. But like we said off air, we're writing books as well, just fiction and all, and it's a lot of work. And that's just coming out of my head. Mm-hmm. You have to go through boxes and do the research, you know, and all.
Well, and see what else I can dig up. You know, I mean, we know the National Archive branch in San Francisco has boxes from the MSTS, but they're not even cataloged. They haven't even been indexed. Some of them probably haven't even been opened since they were delivered there.
We need to find
the
some
people there don't
students.
Even know. And that's interns. It. We need people in the Bay Area who can go in there and spend hours and days going through stuff, volunteering there to work and stuff to find the documents we need. Because like cargoes, like I said, I had pictures of Dad delivering an Army hospital ship. They had Army tugboats loaded on top of the deck because they wouldn't fit down in the cargo hold. So I know some of his cargo. But, I want to know what other stuff he was carrying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, to a point, there's probably some stuff on there that the government doesn't want you to know that they were carrying. But
well, when the secrecy time passes and some of that stuff gets old enough. Yeah. But,
Does your dad, did he ever share any stories about his time?
The one I'm really curious about was after the Korean War. There were times where they were shipping patent tanks, we think, to the Middle East, and they were paid in gold bullion that they had to weld into the cargo holds.
Wow.
Because
that's one way to keep them from taking it.
I guess so,
You know, we were like, gold bullion, Dad? He said, well, yeah, they didn't want any people going in there with their little pocket knives, you know, shaving it off. So they had to load the cargo hold and weld it shut. Dad received a letter of commendation at one point in 1956. Their ship was carrying a load of stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, he got some recognition, but not much.
Wow. I love those are the stories that I love, you know.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot to take in. And I would like to invite you to come back anytime you want. The next 2 weeks we have guests on, but anytime after that,
I
know we can go more into that and maybe get into some more details of how we can help locally. You know, different people can help and do
certainly.
It. And it definitely sounds like we need some interns down there where those all those boxes are to have them rifle through that and, you know, do a college project. And anyone who's out and about, you know, go over to Page's Copy Center on Pine Street and fill the hat. That's for the local VFW, and that's going to support them. And we will have the district commander on next week, so we'll be able to ask him that. I want to thank everybody for listening to Manning the Watch. You have the watch. Until next week, thank you for listening to KCNR 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.